Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 25th of October, recording at 9:31 p.m., and that's still British summertime until this coming Sunday. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quiet. China had a quite good day, and the Indian Sensex and Nifty had good days, although the Banks Index was a little bit more subdued. In Europe, we've had modest declines, mostly under 1% here, so some profit taking after the good run. In the Americas, we had a bit of a bigger setback on Wall Street, and it tended to weaken close pretty much toward, well, it weakened earlier on when we had some consumer confidence figures that disappointed, and then the market just sort of seesawed a little bit in minus territory, but closed near the lows of the day, down 2% exactly for the S&P 500, 2.25% for the NASDAQ. Against that background, government bond prices were firmer, particularly the U.S. 30-year Treasury, which was up over 2 points. And the U.S. dollar had a quiet day in here, slightly firmer on the U.S. dollar index. One of the bigger stories of the day was the strength of gold, which had a upper dynamic and broke up out of its recent little trading range. Gold bullion is currently at 1701, nearly 1702. That's up over $48. And we had a steady gain, $25 higher in platinum. Palladium, a little bit of a lesser gain, but it was silver. It was really gold and silver's day. Silver up $1.66, taking it up to $33.31. The interesting development in crude oil, this looks like a short squeeze that we're seeing in the WTI, which was strong yesterday and started to strengthen last week. And it's up another $1.25 here today at $92.52. Brent is quieter and right around the $111 level. Industrial metals were a little bit weaker here today, the one exception being aluminium, which had a tiny, tiny gain. Soft commodities were mostly a little bit easier, although rough rice was firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, there is some understandable apprehension prior to an announcement by European leaders regarding their latest plan for the Greek debt haircut and the amount of money that they're going to put up to shore up the banks. Now, you can certainly understand the uncertainty, A, because the numbers in terms of the bank indebtedness is the numbers are mind-boggling. We all know that this is a problem that's going to drag on really for a very, very long time. And I think we also know, for the most part, that we're going to get incremental policies from the European leaders. And you're trying to get and for all final big package, surprise them all, reassure them all, a deal out of it's all the different countries involved. Well, that's a bit like herding cats. It just isn't going to happen. So I'll be very surprised if we don't get another of the incremental steps. And that's probably going to lead to some disappointment, comments of too little, too late, and so on. But the key question, in my opinion, remains: at what point does this European crisis lose its capacity to shock anew? And I think we've probably passed that nadir, provided, excuse me, provided that we continue to get a trend in terms of political decisions that remains in the right direction. Certainly, taking a significant haircut on the Greek debt is one of those important steps, and they will provide additional funds. That's written into the market. We've had a good rally this month, and therefore we have some short-term overbought indicators, and there's scope for a little bit of disappointment in here. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see first more volatility tomorrow, and possibly a bit of a setback. If we get something stronger than that, I'll be very favorably impressed in terms of the actual return that we're seeing from demand. Looking further down the road, U.S. consumer confidence figures aside, the data has surprised in the out of come data coming out of the U.S. economy has surprised on the upside more often than on the downside, and I remain hopeful that we're going to see the U.S. economy avoid recession for the foreseeable future. That would be important in terms of underpinning the stock market. I think the odds favor that the lows are in for the year, and hopefully longer, and staying out of recession would be a big factor to reinforce those lows. Now, I do maintain, as I've said in pretty much every broadcast since I got back, starting last week, is that it will be significant when we get a monetary policy change out of China in particular, but also India. And I think that would help to underpin the U.S. economy going forward. I also think we'll see some interesting developments in China's relationship with Europe, and I think this is a good opportunity for China to strengthen its global influence, and no doubt it'll cut a good deal, or it's in terms of its dealing with the European Union. But they need the money. China has the money. And it would certainly increase China's already considerable clout in the international community. So I think that lies ahead for us as well. Now, as far as GDP growth is concerned, though, the I think it's important, as I've already said, for the U.S. economy to stay out of recession. But you know, we've got a slow growth, stagflation environment here, and that's going to be good for gold overall. And today's action by bullion, as I say, is really quite impressive because it's been ranging quietly above that still rising 200-day moving average, and this upside breakout, particularly if it gets a little follow-through coming in tomorrow, which I think will help to embolden investors overall, that gold is seeing nothing more than a medium-term consolidation following its accelerated trend that we saw a couple of months ago. In terms of other precious metals, I think it's definitely silver, which is going to track gold most closely for the time being. I think platinum and palladium are cheap right now, but we may need to see a little bit more confidence in the global economy generally before they can match the gold's leading performance. I suspect that'll happen at some stage, but not in the very, very short term. And among the grain and bean complex, I think rough rice probably has the most medium-term upside scope. It's got one of the better patterns. It did not perform as much earlier in the year, but we've got those Thailand floods, and it looks very much to me on the charts as if the pattern that we're now seeing on rough rice is the first step above a very large base formation. That would suggest some additional ranging over the near term, followed by another strong move to the upside over the medium term. Well, we all await the European announcement. It'll be interesting. Meanwhile, all the best.